Blog Talk Radio.
Bring it. What?
All right.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
Thank you for bringing me in. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. As always, from Will Smith, appreciate him bringing me in. But another episode of Death of Diets, a Sunday night. I thought, what a great topic for a Sunday night. People probably finishing up with dinner, sitting around, thinking, what can I eat now? And so I just hit me, and I thought, what the heck? Let's talk about cravings and what in the world are we going to do about them, maybe even tonight. And so to throw the first thing out there, if you're having a craving, my first question, the first thing I'm wondering is, did you eat enough for dinner? And if you're sitting around and you're thinking, man, my stomach is, I'm so full I couldn't eat anything else. Well, you know, but we still have the cravings. What's that all about? And, well, sometimes it's just habit. We are creatures of habit. We enjoy that habit. It tastes good. It feels good. All that type of stuff. And if you've been on a quote-unquote diet for any period of time, it's not just the last meal that you ate, but it's the other meals that you ate where maybe you haven't eaten enough. And that could be a cause for the craving. And it's not, if you'll notice, if you pay close attention to those cravings, one thing that you'll notice is that it's not always for the same thing. Sometimes it's for something sweet, like you want that Snickers bar or pop or whatever. Sometimes it's for something fatty, where you could have maybe some peanut butter or something with some fat in it that would cure that craving. And so one of the things that I would say to you is, one of the reasons you're having the craving is you're missing a nutrient somewhere. And for those that believe that diets are the way and you restrict, you are at the highest level of susceptibility that there is for having a craving and then having to give in to it. Because for one thing, you're starving yourself. And for another thing, you don't get to eat anything you like. And if you do like it, you probably can't have much of it, if anything at all. And so you're in this constant mode of deprivation. Of course, you're going to have cravings. And at some point in time, you're going to go hog wild. And so that's where a lot of that stuff comes from. And so that is why a diet is bad. What if you don't have this overwhelming desire? No matter what happens, you are not going to give in to that craving. And even if you have to only eat 1,000 or 1,500 calories a day, whatever it is, whatever the particular diet is that you're on, you're just simply not going to give in. It's going to be a very uncomfortable experience. And I would say this to you, it's not sustainable for the long term. But before we go any further, let's do the call-in number. If you want to call the show, you got something to add, you got a question, 914-205-5494. It's 914-205-5494. And call in if you got a question, maybe an idea for a good healthy recipe for a snack, for helping that sweet tooth out a little bit, something that isn't going to raise that blood sugar level, release that insulin, and then just start packing all those calories on as fat, which is what happens. Call on into the show. I would appreciate any dietary help I could get. You know, if you've got a particular recipe or something that you eat that really does the trick for you, I would appreciate it. I could use all the help I can get as well. But so here's the thing. We got a couple of questions up there when I did the episode info and I typed all that stuff in. So what do you do when those overwhelming desires for sweets kick in? Why do they happen? Will they ever stop? The good news is they do stop. And the better news is you can control if or when you're going to eat sweets. In general, you know, if you're at a birthday party, you want some cake, fine, you'll have some cake. If you don't want any, then you won't. And you get to control that. That's a good place to be. It does take a while to get there, and it takes some understanding. So that's something that we're going to get into a little bit tonight, too, is some of the understanding of it. But that's why I threw that stuff out right at the beginning of the show, is if you're sitting there dealing with a craving right now, you tune into the show, you go, oh, wow, look, what's this show about cravings? Something to deal with right away. Number one, did you eat enough? Have you eaten enough today? Just because you ate a pretty good dinner, how many calories did you have before that? How much did you have to eat before that? Are you eating fairly regularly? Could those cravings be coming because the body just lacks enough food during the day to actually sustain the energy needs and whatever else that you're doing? Are you working out, or did you have a busy day? Were you out working in the yard, or did you have to walk a lot today? So if you had, maybe you're chasing some grandkids around, you got a set of twins or triplets and you're running all over the place after them. Yeah, you're going to need extra energy. Did you maybe fall into the trap that, well, I ate that many calories yesterday and it was good? Well, what was your activity level? It did occur to me at some point that I don't need the same number of calories every day. And there's times even when I work out, I don't eat as many calories as other days when I would work out. And then there's some days when I don't work out, I need more calories than the day that I did work out. I can't explain it, but I'm not going 3 more hours without eating when I ate what I normally did, and it just didn't work for me. And, you know, who's to say what's a normal amount? Here's the thing. If it's not adding fat to you, it's not a bad thing. And so if you need 500 calories for that meal, then eat 500 calories. It's not bad to eat 500 calories. It's bad to eat too many, whatever that is. And it's not a given number. It's not 315 calories for every meal. What it is sometimes I need 200 calories this meal. Sometimes I need 500 calories that meal. Well, guess what the average of those is? 350 a meal. And so you aren't an average calorie meal kind of person. Nobody is. And so if you're going to address the needs of the body through eating, diets are not the way to go. Eating is the way to go. And restricting calories, restricting things from your diet is not the way to go. And I'm not talking about cake and candy and pop and chips and all that stuff. I'm talking about not having a restrictive mentality when it comes to food in general, the healthy stuff, the stuff you're supposed to be eating. If you're not getting enough of those nutrients, the fat, the carbohydrates, the proteins, and if you're not getting all the vitamins and all the minerals and all those things from your food, then yeah, you're going to suffer. You're going to desire to eat more food. Why? It's the only way that those needs are going to be met. And don't fool yourself into thinking that a bunch of supplements are the same thing. There's no such thing as a meal replacement. There's something that will get you to your next meal, but it's not a meal replacement. And so here's the thing. One of the things that I really want to change about your thought process on all this stuff, when it comes to cravings, when it comes to diet, any of those types of things. If the food is bad for you, there isn't an amount that's good. It would be dealt with in degrees of less bad. So this isn't as bad as that. So a double cheeseburger isn't as bad for you as a triple cheeseburger because there's less fat, cholesterol, saturated fat, all that type of stuff in the double cheeseburger, that is. But if you want to look at what you're going to be able to eat long-term and what will sustain you long-term, then it's other things. Like tonight, I came in, my son had a practice, and we had just a little, we had a good meal around lunch. I made some good stuff for that. And then at 3 o'clock, we just made a little shake and threw a little protein powder in it. But it was just a handful of frozen berries. It was some peanut butter. It was some seeds or whatever else he threw in there. Some oatmeal, I think, some rolled oats. Just threw them in there, you know, the basic Quaker oat stuff, the old-fashioned oats, just threw like a third of a cup in there, just essentially a handful, and, you know, knocked that all together in a blender, and voila, that was our mid-afternoon snack. Now, I almost never use protein powder as a snack. He wanted to try it, so I said, here's a good recipe, try this. Throw some stuff in there. And we talked about it in the past, and I said, you know, every now and then, it's not going to kill anybody, but let's not make this a habit. Let's not get lazy and say we're going to eat this all the time every day. And so then I get home, I take a wok, and I throw in some chicken stock, I throw in some garlic, I throw in some green onions, and I just nuke the frozen chicken breasts, I cut them up, I throw those in, I throw a little, just a little bit of salt, some white pepper, I throw in some sesame oil, and I throw in some soy. Toss all that stuff together, and I threw salad on there for myself, on the table for myself, and I just put all that stuff on a bunch of greens, and then I threw noodles in for whoever wanted that, and just nuked them for two and a half minutes, And everything was done in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And made some corn. Those steam bags, you just throw them in, they steam up, and 3.5-4 minutes, you've got vegetables. So throw that down. I threw a little corn on, threw some threw the chicken mixture on there on top of the greens. I threw some salsa on there. I threw some black beans on there, a couple of handfuls of black beans. And voila, I've got a great meal. I got fiber. I got some fat from the sesame oil, but it's good stuff. And it was a little bit. It wasn't a main ingredient by any stretch of the imagination. A couple tablespoons, just enough to flavor it. Good to go. And I got 2-3 cups of spinach on there that I'm using to eat all this stuff with. And I've got the salsa on there. So another component, this will help you so much. There's two things here that I want you to address when you're considering what you're going to eat. Number one is flavor. If you are eating bland, boring, not very good food, you will have more cravings than a person who is satisfied by what they're seeing and what they're tasting. I do work on presentation when I'm doing this stuff. I want multiple colors. I want a bunch of different flavors. And guys, it doesn't have to be a lot of stuff. You know, you don't need 15 different things in there. I like garlic. I like salsa. I like chicken. I do like some spinach. So, I just threw a bunch of stuff in the wok and went after it. My wife loves Chinese/Japanese food. So anytime I can get soy sauce or sesame oil on there, just a little bit, a couple of tablespoons of each, done. You know, today I threw together some just some steak and some lemon juice and some Mexican seasoning. And, you know, I had it on a corn tortilla, which I normally wouldn't. I kind of paid for that a little bit later by just having kind of this bloating feeling that lasted for a couple hours. So I just got up and did a good hard kind of aerobic slash doing some push-ups, sit-ups, core type stuff. That lasted 30, 35 minutes, sweated real hard. So at some point in time, all that stuff would be broken down and getting out of my system. But the bottom line was I ate until I was satisfied. I would even say full. But still, the amount of calories that I had was sufficient. And that was at 6:30, around 6:30. And so here it is, 7:30, and I'm not having the cravings. Why? Because I ate a satisfying meal. I had a lot of flavors. I had some texture. Texture is the other thing. One of the things that will make cravings go away is something crunchy. Crunchy stuff is good. You like chips. You like cookies. Some of those things are hard or they're just crunchy. And all of those things work together to satisfy the desire of eating. Because it's not just sugar. It's not just salt. It's not just fat. It's not just protein or carbs. We're not built that way. We're built to actually enjoy the food that we're eating. So if you're eating rice cakes with sugar-free whatever on top of that, you're getting 15 calories and no flavor because all the good stuff is stripped out of both of those ingredients. And so, yes, you suffer from those things. And see, here's the thing, folks. This diet, I hate the word. I don't know why I even keep using it. But the meal that I had was fulfilling. It was satisfying. It had some protein. It had some fat. It had some carbs in it. And a little bit later on, in the next, you know, half an hour or so, I'll throw down maybe a handful of mixed berries or two, maybe, if I feel like I won't make it through the night without my stomach rumbling. And that'll be it. But it's lower glycemic type stuff. So it's blueberries, it's strawberries, it's things like that. So it's low to medium on the glycemic index. And really the only thing high in the glycemic index of fruit that you would eat would be watermelon. That's pretty high. It's 70-something. And then there's another one that I don't know. I've not even heard of. Let me see if I got this pulled up here. Because I've got an actual list that I pulled up here. So the two highest are watermelon and dates. I don't know that I've ever had a date in my whole life. And by that I mean food. Because I am married, so I've been on at least one date. And, you know, some of the other stuff that you might like, pineapple is a higher glycemic index, which means it's going to have a little stronger insulin response. One of my favorites is mango, and it's 50. So anything below, I can't remember if it's 50 or 55 is considered low. So this is right in that low to medium range. The thing down near the bottom is cherries. 22 is the GI value. 100 is what you would consider pure blood glucose. And so the lower you get, the lower insulin response you have. The less insulin you have running through your blood in order to get the blood sugar down, the less fat that you're storing and the more fat you're burning. So if you can keep your blood sugar at a normal level, then all of that stuff goes away. The fat burns automatically. You don't have to do anything special. The body will do it automatically. You do not need to do things, you know, to have B12 or, you know, have some special fat burning whatever that you ingest in the form of a pill or a shot that makes your metabolism increase. It's just not necessary. What you need is a balanced diet that gets all the nutrients in there, so we're not hungry because we lack nutrients. So we get that out of the way. You need some flavor. You need a little crunch. So apples, peanut butter, toast up some like Ezekiel 4-9 bread or some Weight Watchers bread. Weight Watchers bread is 40 calories per slice. And the Ezekiel 4-9 bread, which, and the benefit of that is it's all sprouted grains, which is even better than whole grain. And the difference between whole grain and whole wheat is whole wheat is essentially white bread with a tan. Whole grain is the actual grain itself that's not been ground to the point where the protective shell comes off. So it takes longer to digest, so it has a lower effect on the glycemic index or on the blood sugar. So that has a lower impact on the amount of insulin that's dumped into your bloodstream. And so all the stuff that you eat doesn't end up on your midsection or under those arms. Not a great look, and we're all trying to avoid it. So what would you do if you wanted to increase your metabolism? What you would do is you would very simply exercise. You would do both weight training, weight-bearing exercise, and you would do cardio. You do those things, and automatically, you'll see yourself being hungrier. That doesn't mean that you can eat more chips and stuff, because we're just throwing all that away. For the most part, we're really never going to eat that stuff again. It's not that it's bad. It's not that it's evil. What it is it does things to us we don't like. So we eat a bag of chips, or we eat half a bag of chips, sit down and just keep shoveling. Guilty of that myself. What happens? You're not losing weight, that's for sure. Even if you're not putting it on, if you're trying to lose it, that's not going to happen. And so we get rid of that stuff in favor of those things that are going to get us the results that we want, and they're going to make us much healthier in the meantime. And so, all right, as far as the episode info is concerned, I want to hit this because I put it down there and I made a space for it just so I could see it when I was looking at it and I wouldn't miss it. What's the biggest reason you suffer from cravings when you go on a diet? It's very simple. When you go on a diet, any of them, you name them, they are restricting something. Your mindset when you go on the diet is automatically restrictive. Automatically triggers a response in your brain saying, I want more. The last thing you want to do, I mean, think of your appetite as a four-year-old. You tell it that it can't do something, what's it want? Exactly what you told it it doesn't want to have, that it shouldn't have, that it can't have. And so that's the problem that you run into. And so what we do, what we're doing here is we can eat what we want. We're going to eat till we're satisfied. We're going to do it on purpose. We're going to make things that we really want, that we actually really want to eat. And we're not going to say we can't have all that stuff. We're saying we're going to eat the things that get us the results that we want. And that's what we're doing. That's why we make changes, because we know we need some results. And sometimes the doctor has said, hey, look, you got to change some stuff or you're going to become diabetic or you're going to have whatever issue. And so then we have to change things. And it's still uncomfortable, but we have the motivation now that we lacked before to get through those things. And then what we realize is in 30, 45 days, 50 days, maybe even 60, but that's a long time, usually 30-ish days, 3 to 4 weeks, a lot of those cravings are gone. If it's longer than that, then yeah, you were really sold out into whatever it was that you had. And here's the thing. One of the reasons that cravings occur is it becomes this, and this is where the weight gain comes from, and it's also it's the main reason that we get rid of some of this stuff from our meal plan and whatever else we're going to eat when we're out and about. You know, instead of stopping for Dairy Queen, we stop for something altogether different. We'll stop and grab fruits or vegetables or salad or a parfait or something. And I would even say, especially when you're losing weight, you'll want to stay more away from the dairy. Don't eat a ton of dairy. Well, what can I eat? Lots of stuff. Lots and lots of stuff. But once you, for those of us that have, you know, have had whatever addictions, caffeine, sugar, whatever the case is, what ends up happening is that stuff does damage at a cellular level. And so instead of becoming hungry, what you have is a craving. It's a craving for a poison to your system that is causing damage. And so what happens is once you eat and the body digests what it is that you took in, and it stops the digestion process, the body automatically begins to repair the damage done by some of the other things that we ate. Now, in order to get that to stop, what do? We eat, or we have more caffeine, or we have whatever. And when we do that, that feeling goes away temporarily, and we feel fine again. We feel good again. But the problem is, as we get older, things slow down. Even if we're still exercising, we're still active on the weekends, whatever the case is, we're still doing what we were doing before, stuff still starts to slow down a little bit. And what you'll see is 5 pounds here, 10 pounds there. Next thing you know, you look down, you're 40 pounds heavier than you were 5 years ago. And so you sit back and you're like, how in the world did this happen? Cravings. Instead of eating when you were hungry and being able to go, you know, 3-4 hours between food or between meals. Now, understand this is different from those of us who are active, lifting weights, working out, all that kind of stuff. I do all that stuff as well. Some of those videos that you see on there is me working out with my son. I've got the Adidas pants on. I'm spotting him while he's lifting all that crazy weight. And so I do all that stuff too, just not to that degree. And so what happens is as we increase our activity, obviously we need to increase our intake because we have a caloric need. Not because we have a need for more shakes and burgers and fries and apple pies and stuff like that. But the issue becomes when we think because we're doing more, we can go have more of that stuff. But what we're doing is we're perpetuating this terrible cycle where we eat something bad, it does a little damage to us, the body stops digesting and starts using the stuff that it's been storing, and then automatically it starts to gather cells and various things together to repair what's been damaged, and that feels uncomfortable, or we have some withdrawal from the caffeine and we get a headache. And so what ends up happening is we eat something else before we even need it. And it might even be the same type of thing that gave us the headache to begin with, whether it was the coffee or the Snickers bar or whatever. And what does that do? That's where the weight comes from. So what we do is we don't keep getting into that craving. What we do is we step back, we wean ourselves off of it. Like, here's how you would do it for coffee. This works great. I've done it. It works awesome. I would drink 2-3 cups a day. And sometimes, I still drink coffee, but every now and then I'll just stop. And what happens if you just, bam, go cold turkey? And also, by the way, folks, here's a change that you can do because coffee is not bad for you. Put some almond milk in it. Find something other than sugar and cream that you can put in there. And so you can try various things, almond milk or soy milk, something like that. Ladies, the soy milk is okay for you, but just be careful. Talk to your doctor about it because extra soy can create more estrogen, which can cause breast cancer. And I haven't studied those health links enough. Guys, we don't want it because we don't need estrogen. It's not something that we need, period. But also, guys, understand if you have belly fat, you are making more estrogen. Belly fat will cause men to make more estrogen. So that's a great reason to change and stop some of these cycles before it gets bad. That's where the man boobs come from. I mean, it's difficult to find the man boobs on a guy with no stomach. You see a dude with six-pack abs, you're not seeing man boobs because he's not making estrogen. He's making testosterone. Why is he making testosterone? Because he's lifting heavy sometimes, he's lifting light other times, and he's mixing it up, and he's in there, and he's working out. But you have to lift some heavy weight. I mean, and by heavy, I mean for you. It's not like, well, if you can lift 500 pounds, you'll make all the testosterone you want. It's not how it works. If it's difficult for you, and so what my son and I do, we'll do 1 week where we do like a set of 4, a set of 6, a set of 6 or 7 on squat or whatever we're lifting heavy on that day. And then another week we'll do like 888, something like that, or 8108. We'll mix it up because it releases different hormones. It'll release some testosterone one time. It'll release some IGF-2, insulin growth factor 2, the next time. And so these two things help you just grow like crazy. There's some other stuff, but that's another show. But these are the types of things that you and I have to do to get not just the body we want. This isn't just about being in a swimsuit. This is about living and fighting cancer and fighting other issues that we have, fighting diabetes, fighting blindness. You know, high blood sugar will attack the optic nerve in your eye and cause you to start losing your sight. High blood sugar is bad for a whole lot of things. There's a thing called diabetic neuropathy. And we can change all of that by changing these habits, which remove the cravings, which stop the cycle, which cause us to continue to gain weight when we don't want it. We're not eating the food because we want to get fat. Nobody wants to be 100 pounds overweight. And it's eternally frustrating when you go to try to lose that weight, and all you end up with is headaches and bloating, and you feel like crap, and you're thinking, what in the world? You know, how in the world do I get off of this stupid roller coaster? I don't get it. The more I lose, the more I gain back. And so that's what this type of show is for. That's what Death of Diets is about. If you're needing some help losing 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 75 pounds, 100 pounds, if you're needing some help, come and look on deathofdiets.com. There's a lot of good stuff in there. It's cheap. It's way cheaper than going to your gym. We can work out a plan. I'm getting ready to release some stuff in the next day or two. I'm thinking Tuesday everything should be up. All the bugs will be worked out, and everything will be filmed and exactly where it needs to be. But it's for those of you that travel a lot and go into – you're in a hotel room, and you're getting there at all kind of crazy hours of the day and night. Maybe it's not even – maybe you're in a place that has no exercise area. Maybe the exercise area is open, but the stuff you want to use is broke, or the stuff you want to use is not there, or you get there and it's just closed because of the time that you got there. So I'm releasing something for people who travel a lot so that they can do things either in their hotel room or they can do it in the exercise area that place provides. And so there's different ways to do it, and there's different options. There's actually going to be 4 different types of workouts where I'm going to show you all different kinds of stuff. And there's going to be an introductory price of $39. And you don't have to go purchasing a bunch of stuff. It requires no supplements. You don't have to take pills. You don't have to take powders. You don't have to bring anything extra with you. We'll through the shows and through the audio that'll be on the website, we'll help you make the decisions that you got to make there for food. You know, better choices, this versus that, stuff like that. And that'll all be beneficial. But we're going to work out. We're going to deal with some of these cravings. We're going to get rid of some of this stuff. But bottom line here is, guys, we're going to get off the cycle. And we're not going to eat a bunch of diet food because we're not on a diet. That's not the point. We are not on a diet. What we are doing is we are changing what we're eating because, A, there's a certain amount of food and a certain type of food that we need to eat. And, B, we want to get off that roller coaster because that's all bad news. It doesn't lead us anywhere we want. We don't want the fat. We don't want the disease. We don't want the headaches. You know, we want to be able – and look, guys, we're not necessarily making models here, although that's not a hard thing to do. If you go look at my son on there, you know, you'll see what he looks like. All that stuff's possible, and we can do all that stuff together. But if we don't get this eating portion right, you will be on this up-and-down cycle the rest of your life, and who wants that? That's why I started this, because diets are a lie. All that Atkins and low fat, low carb, low whatever, high protein, you know, all of the different crap that's been out there for so long, it's nothing but lies, and it makes the people rich that come up with it. And that's not what this is about. It's about getting the information out so that you have the ability to make whatever decisions you want. Imagine you go to a birthday party, you just don't feel like cake or ice cream today. You know, I just had a good meal. I sat down. I had my veggies. I had some fruit. I had some protein. I had a great chicken salad with a side of pineapple and, you know, a little bit of, I don't know, cottage cheese. And I had a nice iced tea, or I had a nice glass of water. I had some almond milk. And I feel great. I don't need any of this. I feel great. That stuff makes me not feel great. I'm just not going to eat it. I'm good. No. Happy birthday. But, thanks so much for joining me tonight. Hopefully this was helpful to you. And guess what? We're getting out of here again with my man, Will Smith. Will, thanks so much for stopping by, brother man, and helping me get in and out of here. So I will see you all next time. See you on the website. Check it out. info@deathofdiets.com if you need me. If you got to ask me a question, deathofdiets.com, and you can get all the information that you're looking for there. And I will talk to you next time. Let's get jiggy with it, Will.
Bring it.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro, I know.